Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo
We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 36. The Slaying of Arista, the Bull Demon. Text 16. Please repeat. Ariste,
Ariste,
Nihate,
Nihate,
Daitye,
Daitye,
Krishnena,
Krishnena,
Adbhuta Karmana,
Adbhuta Karmana,
Kamsaya,
Kamsaya,
Atha,
Atha,
Aha,
Aha,
Bhagavan,
Bhagavan,
Narada,
Narada,
Devadarshana,
Deva
Ariste nihate daitye.
Ariste nihate daitye.
Krishnena bhuta karmana.
Krishnena bhuta karmana.
Kamsaya taha bhagavan.
Kamsaya taha bhagavan.
Narado deva darshanaha. Arishte nihate jaitye.
Arishte nihate jaitye.
Krishnena bhuta karmana.
Krishnena bhuta karmana.
Kamsaya taha bhagavan.
Kamsaya taha bhagavan.
Narado deva darshanaha.
Narado deva darshanaha. Arishte
Arishte nihate daitye.
Krishnenad bhuta karmana.
Krishnenad bhuta karmana.
Kamsayataha bhagavan.
Kamsayataha bhagavan.
Narado deva darshana.
Narado deva darshana. Arishte.
Arishte.
Arishta.
Arishta.
Nihate.
Nihate.
Having been killed.
Having been killed.
Daitye.
Daitye.
The demon.
The demon.
Krishnena.
Krishnena.
By Krishna.
By Krishna.
Adbhuta Karmana.
Adbhuta Karmana.
Whose activities are wonderful.
Whose activities are wonderful.
Kamsaya.
To Kamsa, to Kamsa,
Artha,
Artha,
then, Aha,
Aha,
spoke,
spoke,
Bhagavan,
Bhagavan,
the powerful sage,
the powerful sage,
Narada,
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 Devadarshanaha,
Devadarshanaha,
whose vision is godly.
Whose vision is God.
Translation. After Aristasura had been killed by Krishna, who acts wonderfully, Narada Muni went to speak to King Kamsa. That powerful sage of godly vision addressed the king as follows. Purport. The term Devadarshana can be understood in many ways, all of which are consistent with the context and purport of this narration. Deva means God, And darshana means seeing, or an audience with a great personality. Thus, Devadarshan, a name for Narada Muni, indicates that Narada has attained the perfection of seeing God. That getting Narada's audience is as good as getting God's, since Narada is a pure representative of the Lord, and also that Narada's audience is as good as that of the demigods, who are also known as devas. That there are all these meanings of the term Devadarshana reveals something of the richness of the Srimad Bhagavatam's language. From the Puranas, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has quoted 20 verses describing a joking conversation between Radha and Krishna that took place after Krishna had killed the demon Arishta. This conversation, so kindly quoted by the Acharya, describes the origin of Radha Kund and Shama Kund, Radha's and Krishna's bathing ponds. The verses are as follows. Masman sprashadya vrishabardana hanta mukta goro suroyam ai krishna tad apyayam gau ritro yatad vijahi hastyati niskrita kim shujyad bhavam stribhuvana stitirtha kritsharat. The innocent young gopi said, "Oh Krishna, don't touch us now, O killer of a bull. Alas, even though Arishta was a terrible demon, still he was a male cow. So you will have to undergo atonement, just as Lord Indra did after killing Vritrasura. But how can you purify yourself without going to the trouble of visiting every single holy place in the three worlds?" Kim paryatami bhuvananyadunai vasarva aniyatirth Sabitati karavanitasu snanam vilokya tatavad idam mukunda prochaiva tatra kritavan pataparshnikatam. Krishna replied, "Why should I have to wander throughout the entire universe? I will at once bring all the countless pilgrimage places here and take my bath in them. Just watch." With this, Lord Mukunda struck his heel on the ground. Pita lato jalam idam kila boga bhaktya ayatam atta nikila apitirtha sangha Agacchateti bhagavat vachasatatetya tatraiva rejur artha krishna ubhacha gopi. Then he said, this is the water of the Bhogavati River, coming from the Patala region. And now, O holy places, all of you please come here. When the Supreme Lord had spoken these words, all the holy places went there and appeared before him. Krishna then addressed the gopis as follows. Tirthani pasyata harer vachasata vaivam. Naiva pratima itita artha tirtha varya. Prochu kritanjali putalavanaptirasmi. Krishna dvirasmi shututamara dikami. See all the holy places. But the gopis replied, we don't see them as you describe. Then those best of holy places, joining their palms in supplication, spoke up. I am the salt ocean. I am the ocean of milk. I am the Amara Dirghika. Sono pisindur aham asmi bhavami tamra parnicha pushkaram aham chara saraswati cha godavari ravisuta sarayu prayago revasmi pashyatajalam kuruta pratitim. I am the river Sona. I am the river Sindhu. I am the Tamraparni. I am the holy place Pushkar. I am the river Saraswati. And we are the Godavari, Yamuna, and Reva rivers, and the confluence of rivers at Prayag. Just see our waters. Snatva taro hari ati prajagalba eva shuddha saropya karavam stita sarva tirtham yushma biratma janusta krituna dharma kopikshitav atasakir nirjagadaradha. After purifying himself by bathing, Lord Hari became quite arrogant and said, I have produced a pond containing all the various holy places, whereas you gopis must never have executed any religious duties on this earth for the pleasure of Lord Brahma. Then Srimati Radharani addressed her girlfriends as follows. Karyam mayapyati manohara kundam ekam tasmad yatadvam iti tadvachanena tabhi si krishna kunda tatapaschima dishyamando Gartha krito vrishabhadai jakurar vyaloki. Radharani addressed her girlfriends, I must create an even more beautiful pond. So go to work. Having heard these words, the gopis saw that Aristasura's hooves had dug a shallow ditch just west of Sri Krishna's pond. Tatra dramrin mridula gola tati pratisva hasto vrita anatiduragata vidaya divyam sara prakatitam gatikadvayena tabir vilokya sarasam smarate smakrishna. At that nearby spot, all the gopis began digging up lumps of soft mud with their hands. And in this way, a divine pond manifested in the short span of an hour. Krishna was astonished to see the lake they produced. Proche katirtha salilai paripurayatim mat kundata sarasi jakshi sahalibistvam radha tadana nananeti jagadayasmat Tvat kundam niram urugo vadapatakatam. Krishna said, go ahead, lotus-eyed one. You and your companions should fill this pond with water from mine. But Radha replied, no, 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 no. This is impossible. Since the water of your pond is contaminated by your terrible sin of killing a cow. Aritya punya salilam shatakoti kumbai Sakyar Budena Sahamana Sajanavita Etat Sarasamaduna Paripurayami Tenaiva Kirtim Atulam Tanavani Loke. Sri Radha replied, I will have my countless gopi companions bring the pure water of the Manasa Ganga here in billions of pots. In this way, I will fill this lake with my own water and thus make its renown unequaled in the entire world. Krishnen gitena sahasyaita samasta tirtha sakyasthadiya sarasodrita divya murti tushtavatatra vishavanu sutam pranamya bhaktya kritanjali puta shavadasradhara. Lord Krishna then gestured to a heavenly personality who was an intimate associate of all the holy places. Suddenly that person rose up out of Krishna's pond and bowed down to the daughter of Sri Vishabhanu, Radharani. Then, with palms joined and tears pouring from his eyes, he began praying to her in devotion. Devi Twadiya Mahimanam Avaiti Sarva Shastrartha Vinna Chavidir Naharona Lakshmi Kintveka Eva Purushartha Shiromanis Twat Prasveda Marjana Para Swayam Eva Krishna. O Goddess, even Lord Brahma himself, the knower of all scriptures, cannot understand your glories. Nor can Lord Shiva or Lakshmi. Only Krishna, the supreme goal of all human endeavor, can understand them. And thus he feels obliged to personally make sure that you can wash away your perspiration when you are fatigued. Yascharu yavakarasena bhavat padabjam arajanu puram aho nidahati nityam prapya twadiya nayanabjatata prasadam sammanyate paramadan yatamam prarishyan tasya gyatyaiva sahasa vayam ajagama tat parshnigatta kritakunda varevasama tvam chet prasida sikaro sikripa kataksham tarye vatarsha vitapi palito bhavena. He is always anointing your lotus feet with nectarian charu and yavaka and decorating them with ankle bells. And he rejoices and feels most fortunate simply by satisfying the tips of the toes of your lotus feet. On his order, we have immediately come here to live in the most excellent pond, which he created by one stroke of his heel. But only if you now feel satisfied with us and bestow upon us your merciful glance, will the tree of our desire bear fruit. Shrutvastutim nikila tirtha ganasya tushta prahasmatarsham aivedayate tiradha yama twadiya sarasam sabhalabhavama ityeva novara iti prakatam tadochu. Hearing this prayer spoken by the representative of the full assembly of holy places, Sri Radha was pleased and said, "So, kindly tell me your desire." They then told her plainly, "Our lives would be successful if we could come to your pond." That is the benediction we desire. Agacchateti Vrishavanusutasmitasya Provachakanta Vadanabja Dritakshikona Sakyo Pitatra Kritasamataya Sukabdo Magna Virajur Akila Stira Jangamascha. Glancing at her beloved from the corners of her eyes, the daughter of Rishabhanu replied with a smile, "Please come." Her gopi companions all agreed with her decision and became immersed in the ocean of happiness. Indeed, the beauty of all creatures, both mobile and stationary, was enhanced. Prapya prasadam atate vrishabhanujaya Sri Krishna kunda gata tirtha vara prasaya Vidvena bittim ativegata eva radha Kundam yadusa salilai paripurnam eva. Thus gaining the grace of Srimati Radharani, the holy rivers and lakes of Sri Krishna Kund forcibly broke through its boundary walls and swiftly filled Radha Kund with their waters. Proche Hari Priyatame Tavakundam Etan Matkundatopi Mahimadikam Astu Loke Atraivame Savilake Virihaiva Nityam Snanam Yatatamasi Tadvadidam Sarome. Lord Hari then said, "My dear Radha, may this pond of yours become even more world-renowned than mine. I will always come here to bathe and enjoy my water pastimes. Indeed, this lake is as dear to me as you are." Radha bravid aham api svam sukhi biretya Snasyam arishta shatamardhanam astu tasya Yornishta mardana saras yurubhakti ratra Snayad vasen mamavsa eva maha priyostu. Radha replied, "I will come to bathe in your pond as well, even though you may kill hundreds of Arista demons here." In the future, anyone who has intense devotion for this lake, which is on the spot where you chastised Aristasura, and who bathes or resides here, is sure to become very dear to me." Ras otsavam prakurute smachatatra ratro Krishnam Buddha krita maharasaharsha varsha Shri Radhika Pravara Vidyut Alankrita Shrish Trilokya Madhyavitati Krita Divya Kirti. That night, Lord Krishna initiated a rasa dance at Radha Kund, generating a torrent of the greatest mood of splendorous pleasure. Sri Krishna resembled a cloud, and Srimati Radharani a brilliant flash of lightning, filling the sky with abundant beauty. In this way, their divine glories permeated the expanses of the three worlds. As a final note, it should be mentioned that Narada Muni, being a great sage, understood that the killing of Arista more or less concluded the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. Therefore, Narada, anxious to facilitate the transferal of Krishna's pastimes to Mathura, approached Kamsa and addressed him as follows. So, reading this pastime of the creation of Shyamakund and Radhakund, I naturally thought of those days when His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami and I would spend time in Vrindavan and teach at the Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education and take devotees on parikrama of various holy places, including Sri Radha Kund and Sri Shama Kund. And those were very sweet days and nights, and filled with much friendship and Krishna consciousness. At one stage, some of Srila Prabhupada's neophyte disciples came to Radhakund and Shyamakund and took them to be like swimming pools in which they could dive and sport. And hearing about the way they perhaps missed the exalted status of Radhakund and Shyamakund, Srila Prabhupada said that his disciples should not bathe in the Kunds. And certainly, if one considers the true nature of Radhakund and Shyamakund, especially Radhakund being Srimati Radharani in liquid form, and one considers one's own position as a fallen, wretched, sinful entity, what qualification do we have to enter Radha Kund? We have no qualification. And therefore, many Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they just take some water from Radha Kund in their palm and do achman and sprinkle the water on their heads. And that is considered as good as taking bath in Radha Kund. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was also very reserved about taking bath in Radha Kund. But then again, Srila Rupa Goswami and Sri Upadeshamrita glorifies Radha Kund very much in the mood of the verses that we just read. And he also proclaims the glories of taking bath in Radha Kund. And therefore, other Gaudiya Vaishnavas, or the same Gaudiya Vaishnavas at different times, may, with great humility and respect, take bath in Radha Kund, following the orders of Srila Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Instruction. But certainly Radha Kund is a most sacred place. During the eightfold daily pastimes of Radha and Krishna, Astakaliya Lila, they meet at Radha Kund in the afternoon and enjoy various pastimes there. Krishna will take the cows to pasture at Govardhan Hill, and then on some pretext he will arrange to leave the cowherd boys and cows and steal away to Radha Kund with some intimate friends, cowherd boyfriends, and meet Radharani and her girlfriends there and enjoy various pastimes. Almost all of our great acharyas established bhajan kutirs at Radha Kund. The Goswamis, Jiva Goswami, and Raghunath Das Goswami, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami wrote Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita there on the banks of Radha Kund. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, and even later Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. One place at Radha Kund was the Bhajan Kutir or Ashram of Srinivasacharya. And our previous acharyas, they dealt with disciples that were not all that different from us. They also dealt with neophytes and tried to train them in devotional service. Of course, the culture was more supportive of Krishna consciousness then. And the atmosphere was more favorable. But in Srinivasacharya's ashram, there was a beam of wood. And on a codicy, because the strict observance of a codicy means that one stays up all night chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. So Srinivasacharya would have the brahmacharis tie their sikas to this wooden pole. So if they happen to fall asleep or nod out, as we say, they would get yanked by the hair and woken up. This is quite an ingenious way of ensuring that the brahmacharis would stay up all night and get the benefit of the Ekadasi vrat. And in more recent times, some of Srila Prabhupada's disciples have gotten places at Radhakund. Nitai Chand Prabhu has his place. Mahanidhi Swami stays there. And there's a very nice Manipuri temple that was given into the charge of Srila Bhakti Srup Damodar Swami. And there was so much devotion. So the king of Manipur, who built the temple, designed it in such a way that when the first rays of the sun would come up over Radhakund, it would shine into the deity room of Radha and Krishna, greet them and illuminate their deity room. And of course, it is a very good place to chant. I have told this story, but still it's relevant to us, so I'll repeat it. One year, His Holiness Satchinandan Swami stayed at Radhakund to perform a Kartik Vrat. And he had a very strong Nam Vrat. It's a rule that one should not disclose one's vrat because then others may respond, "Oh, you're chanting so many rounds. Oh, that's so good. You're so great." And then one will get puffed up and then the whole thing will be ruined. So generally one keeps those vows to oneself. But he hardly had time to do anything but chant. Still, he did agree to, you know, spend a little time with me talking. And he explained that when he first came to Radhakund to begin his vrat, he was not able to enter into the nectar of the holy name. He described it as if he had come to the door and he was knocking on the door, but the door was not opening. So then he thought what to do. And we all may have the experience of not really being able to enter deeply. But because he was at Radhakund and his only service pretty much was just to chant, he had no other service to preoccupy him or distract him. There were no social interactions. There was nothing else but chanting. And so he was confronted by the fact that he'd come to the door, but the door was not opening. So he thought what to do, how to enter. Then he thought he should do humble service to the Kund and to the Vaishnavas. So he thought he should sweep the area around the kund. But not at any time when anyone could see him. Because again, oh, that's so nice, you're cleaning the kund. And then again, the false ego will become prominent and everything will be spoiled. So he would do it, you know, maybe between 1 and 2 in the morning, sometime, 12:30 and 1:30, sometime when no one would see him. And that actually opened the door. That humble service, selfless service, enabled him to dive more deeply into the nectar of the holy name. And Nitai Chan Maharaj, for his part, he would do Govardhan Parikrama every day. And what struck me about both of them was that amidst their strenuous efforts to purify themselves and advance in Krishna consciousness, they were also very concerned about the welfare of the society of ISKCON. It came out in my talks with Nitai Chand Maharaj. And Sachinandan Swami, after completing this Navrat at Radha Kund, he went to Ahovalam, to the temple of Nrisimhadev, specifically to pray for the welfare of ISKCON. So we are very fortunate here in Dallas that His Holiness Sachinandan Swami will be coming here for 2 days or so before the Sadhu Sangha retreat at the end of May. And he doesn't go to so many places. I mean, he has his places where he goes, but otherwise he doesn't go much. 2 years ago, I helped facilitate a japa retreat at Varshana with Sachinandan Swami and Purijan Prabhu. And, you know, at the end, you know, people were coming up and the three of us were sitting together on the stage and I heard, you know, people telling Maharaj, oh, please come to Bombay, please come here, please come there. And he was very direct. He said, no. When I'm in India, the only places I go are holy places. Otherwise, I don't go to other places. But that's not selfishness, but it's a way of balancing one's time and energy and schedule. Because we need to invest time in our personal spiritual lives in order to have the qualities and the potency to really help others. So it is very good news for us. Actually, he had another commitment in Europe. At the time of the Sadhu Sangha retreat, but it got canceled. So out of nowhere, this, I would say, special arrangement for us happened. So yes, chanting and hearing. I mean, that is the most essential process. Of course, devotional service is absolute, but chanting and hearing and remembering, these are the three primary processes, and they are enhanced in a holy place like Sri Radha Kund and in the association of serious devotees. As far as Narada going to Kamsa, and as stated in the next verse, he told Kamsa, Yashoda's child was actually a daughter, and Krishna is the son of Devaki. Because Kamsa had been forewarned that the son of Devaki would kill him. But actually, by his arrangement through Yogamaya's agency, he was switched. His father Vasudev took him to Gokul and took Yashoda's baby girl and brought her back to Mathura. And then when Kamsa tried to kill her, by dashing her on the stone, she flew out of his hands and manifested her form as Durga and chastised him. So here Narada is disclosing the secret. And same with Balaram. Balaram was in the womb of Devaki. And Krishna arranged through Yogamaya that Balaram should be transferred to the womb of Rohini in Gokul, because Rohini was sent there to be protected by Nanda Maharaj, who was related to Vasudev, so that she would be saved from the atrocities of Kamsa. So it appeared that Devaki had a miscarriage, because there were, she had a child in her womb, and then that child, before being born, was transferred to the womb of Rohini. So Narada disclosed that secret too. So he told Kamsa, Yashoda's child was actually a daughter, and Krishna is the son of Devaki. Also, Rama is the son of Rohini. Out of fear, Vasudev entrusted Krishna and Balaram to his friend Nanda Maharaj, and it is these two boys who have killed your men. Because Kamsa kept sending demons to Vrindavan to kill the children, just in case one of them was the one who would kill him. And they all ended up being killed. So now this may appear to be a very peculiar course of action for Narada to take, to inform Kamsa of these secrets that were meant to keep Krishna and Balaram's identities hidden from Kamsa. But there is a purpose to it, of course, and the purpose was to accelerate the Lord's pastimes, as our acharyas have noted. With the killing of Aristasura, Narada understood that the time for Krishna to leave Vrindavan had come, and therefore to accelerate Krishna's pastimes, he informed Kamsa. And this is also a lesson to us that something might appear to be a reversal, but it may actually be part of a larger design to fulfill the Lord's plan. So we should be very careful about judging circumstances as being good or bad. In fact, everything in the life of a devotee is ultimately meant for good. so that the devotee can learn something and accelerate his spiritual progress back home, back to God. Hare Krishna. So are there any questions or comments?
Are you going to be here when such an animal arrives comes?
Sorry?
Are you going to be here in Dallas when such an animal arrives comes?
Yes, I will be. Will you?
I will be.
Krishna willing, we all will be here.
I had one question about the logistics of this. Millions of gopis there at the. With Michigan, there's millions of gopis there interacting with this pastime. It seems physically impossible.
Well, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains. Actually, other acharyas have also explained that Vrindavan, or Vrajadham, is like a lotus flower. And sometimes it expands and sometimes it contracts. For example, the Vrajadham extends many miles. And for us to walk, you know, from Vrindavan to some of the farther reaches of Vrajadham where Krishna had his pastimes, you'd have to walk for hours and hours and hours, perhaps days and days, like they do on Rajamandala Parikrama. So our acharyas explain that Vrajadham is like a lotus flower and it can expand or contract. So if Krishna has to go a long distance in a short time, it contracts, and so he can cover the distance easily and quickly. I mean, this is what they say. You can believe it or not. So similarly, time and space, they can expand or contract. And one example that the acharyas give is that the entire cosmic manifestation could fit into Krishna's mouth. That's his unlimited potency. So the entire cosmic manifestation could fit into his mouth, and millions of gopis could fit in the area of Radhakund, the inconceivable will of the Lord. And actually, Vrindavan is spiritual. It's considered an expansion of Krishna's body, and Krishna's body itself, you know, it can become bigger than the biggest, smaller than the smallest. So the Dham has the same properties or characteristics as the body of Krishna. And therefore it can expand, it can manifest itself in different places. Srila Jiva Goswami gives a very interesting discussion about the Dhams. Because we take certain things from granted on faith. But Jiva Goswami has researched the scriptures and applied logic and reasoning to really make a very strong argument for all the points of our Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. So how do we know that, you know, Krishna Loka, Goloka Vrindavan is not different from Gokul or Vrindavan on earth? And similarly, other places, like Mathura and Dwarka. So Jiva Goswami says that we know that they're the same because the names are the same and the qualities are the same. And the pastimes associated with them are the same. And then as far as the question, well, how could it be in the spiritual sky and at the same time be on earth? So he gives the argument that just as Krishna can expand his body into multiple forms, and he quotes from the 10th canto, when Krishna married 16,108 wives, he was simultaneously present in each and every palace, each of the 16,108 palaces. So that means that his body can expand into multiple forms. And the Dham is considered an expansion of his body, and therefore the Dham can also expand into, be in many places at the same time. Yeah, so it's a mysterious topic. It's a mysterious topic. Jiva Goswami explains that the Dham, that transcendent Dham from the spiritual world, it sort of comes to earth and settles like on the surface of the earth. And it sort of interpenetrates the earth. And then when Krishna is present personally, the spiritual Dham is fully manifest. And then when Krishna leaves, the Dham, you know, it can gradually become covered by, it's still there, and pure devotees can see the Dham in its original feature, but it becomes covered to our vision, to the vision of ordinary people, by the illusory energy. And therefore, like now, there's like so many anomalies in Vrindavan, building marriage halls and big roads, and I mean, so the Dham is there, but when Krishna was personally present, the Dham was revealed fully in its original feature from the spiritual sky, and now it's sort of intermingled with the material energy. But pure devotees, they see, they can perceive the original nature of the Dham, and it's considered a portal, like a doorway, like it's considered a portal to enter the transcendent Goloka Vrindavan. And that's why we find in Brihad Bhagavatamrita that Gop Kumar is advised to return to Boma Vrindavan, the Vrindavan on earth, to perfect himself, and then from the Boma Vrindavan on earth, he's able to enter the Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world.
If we have a minute, I was just curious, there's practically unlimited planets in each universe. I was just wondering, is there other Vrindavans on other planets, or is this the only planet where there's Vrindavan?
The Earth is the only one in this universe. So it's very special. That's the whole point. The Earth is very special. And the time that we're living in is very special. Because it's not that Krishna comes in his original form in every Divya Yuga, every yuga cycle. It's not that he comes in every Treta Yuga, but just once in a day of Brahman, like 1,000, he comes. And similarly, it's not that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the original personality of God, comes in every Kali Yuga. He comes only in the Kali Yuga after the Dwapara Yuga, in which Krishna comes. So we are in an extraordinarily fortunate position to be able to progress in Krishna consciousness and attain perfection. So we shouldn't take it lightly. Yes, Narottam.
Maharaj, my question has to do with Radhakund and the practice of this Manjari Bhav. And I know that in Radhakund we have Srila Bhakti Sananda Saraswati's home there, and the history has it that he rejected and criticized the Babaji's of Radhakund for practicing this Manjari Bhav, and that their gurus give the Siddha Pranali mantra, and then they and reveal to them their spiritual form, and by doing that they practice a sadhana, meditating on that form that's given to them by their guru with the idea of attaining perfection. But that and then they criticize Bhakti Sananda Saraswati, saying that you were never given the Siddha Pranali mantra, therefore your line is not complete. And you, those who follow Bhakti Sananda Saraswati, you cannot achieve perfection. So the rebuttal was Bhakti Sananda Saraswati was that this realization of one's spiritual form comes by the practice of sadhana and through realization, it's not just given in the neophyte position and meditated on. My Guru Maharaj, he gave an example of the devotee who rejected Srila Prabhupada and went there, took initiation, was told that he was a peacock, and then when the Iskandar devotees went there, he was up in a tree acting like a peacock, making peacock noises. And then later, about a year later, he found them in New York. They were doing Harinam in New York, and he came out of a manhole. He was living in the sewers of New York, and had literally, he said, had literally gone crazy from this practice. Now, this history of, between Bhakti Sananda Saraswati and the Babaji's and the whole discussion of the Siddha Pranali practice and Manjari Bhava is mentioned in this kind of book in the relationship of Narottam Das Thakur and Lokanatha Goswami, and also we have Shyamana Pandit and others actually being given their identity as Manjaris by the previous six Goswamis, or Goswamis of Vrindavan, Lokanatha Goswami and Jiva Goswami and so forth. They reveal to them, for example, Narottam Das Thakur is given that he's the Champaka Manjari of Champakalata. So my question is, how are we supposed to understand this? You know, this history and this rejection, and then it's also mentioned there in our previous acharyas having been given their spiritual identities by their gurus. What's the correct understanding? And then also you mentioned the devotees in Mahanid Maharaj and Nityachand Prabhu living there in Radhakund, and there was some conversation with Srila Prabhupada where he's rejecting that practice, saying that samadhi, work now, samadhi later. And he didn't recommend devotees giving up active preaching and going to Radhakund or going to Vrindavan to practice like that. I was wondering if you could help us with that and give some insight into those things.
Is there a particular reason why you're asking this question?
No, I know that in Radhakund we have these things and we're discussing it in Radhakund, and you're probably the best authority in the world on this topic. So I thought I would take the opportunity of your kind presence here to hear this.
Well, to try to like summarize, there are two different ideas of how one realizes his eternal Swarup. One is that the guru gives it through initiation, and the other is that it's already there and one realizes it through sadhana or kripa. And in our line, we take the second view, you know, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunai, that our love for Krishna is eternally situated within the heart, it's not obtained from another source. Then Sudha Chitti Karya Udai, and by hearing and chanting in the association of devotees, that eternal love is awakened or arises. And therefore, shiksha can be more important than diksha, because the shiksha gives you the method by which your eternal love can be awakened. And in the other view, your guru gives it to you at the time of initiation, and so if he didn't give it to you at the time of initiation, you don't have it, which, you know, doesn't, it's just not the way we see things at all. Now, Siddha Pranali literally means like the way to perfection, or, you know, procedure for perfection. And not the six Goswamis, but in Jagannath Puri, that line coming from Rakeshwar Pandit and Gopal Guru Goswami and Dan Chan Goswami, they developed this procedure. And part of it is what they call the Ekadasa Bhav, like 11 sentiments related to your eternal identity and service. So there's your name, your dress, your service, the different details about your identity in Krishna Lila. And what Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says is that when the disciple is very close to the stage of realization, that means at Bhava Bhakti, you realize Krishna, you realize yourself, you realize your relationship with Krishna. It's just revealed. But when one is at the stage of a sakti, which is just before bhava, and one is sort of getting close to it, you know, sort of getting a glimmer of it, the guru may, if the disciple's that qualified, and if the guru is that qualified, the guru may give those like Ekadasa Bhavas. But even then, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says what he's trying to do is just help the disciples' meditation. You know, and he says that it may be that the guru gives something that doesn't quite fit with the disciple, and then that can be adjusted. So the idea is very much that loving relationship is already there. Like Prabhupada gives the example, when you're asleep, you dream so many things. But when you wake up, you immediately know, you know, oh, I'm Naratan, I have to get up, I have to go to Mangalarti, this is my wife, and you know, this, you remember everything about who you are. So when one awakens at the stage of Bhava Bhakti, he immediately knows everything about his identity. So the Siddha Pranali or Ekadasa Bhava is really a tool that can help someone make that transition from Asakti, advanced stage of Asakti, to Bhava Bhakti. But after Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that means like, that practice was not done. I mean, there's some sketchy evidence that it might have been done in some rare cases by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but the idea is that, you know, that same point, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema, that it's already there, and Sudha Chitta, by purifying the consciousness, Karaye Udaya, it awakens. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the example, I mean, in a little different context, but it could apply here as well. And that is that, you know, a Brahmin is traveling and he comes to a house, you know, to spend the night. And the owner of the house says that, because some Brahmins are very strict, you know, they only want to cook their own meal. So the owner of the house says, if you want, I can give you, you know, fire, stove, and all the different ingredients, and you can cook your meal. Otherwise, you know, I have a meal that has been offered to the Lord, and if you want, you can just have the prasad. So in the Ekadasa Bhavs, like, you're given all these different elements and then somehow you sort of put it together, you know. Whereas in Bhava Bhakti, it's already there. It's already there and you just take it. So basically, you know, Srila Prabhupada has given us the method by which, you know, one can progress to the stage of Bhava Bhakti, and then at Bhava Bhakti everything's revealed. And when someone criticized Srila Bhaktisiddhanta that you don't have Siddha Pranali, he said, yes, we do. Chinada pisu niche na tarora pisi hishnana amanina amanide na kirtaniya siddhari. That is our Siddha Pranali. That is our way to perfection. All right, thank you very much. Shri Shri Radha Kund Ki Jai, Shri Shama Kund Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.
So in this short Giri Rashto Swami Maharaj Ki Jai.